Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Big Sunday. Talk some Royals, talk some Wildcats, talk some spring football, actually, because I'm actually ready for that. I'm ready to turn the page. Ready to turn the page on college basketball season in Gortuits football. But nothing entices me more than this Kansas City Chiefs offseason and Royals opening day in 4 days. Going to my guy, Craig Stout, at Barley Hop, defensive film analyst for ArrowheadPride.com. What's up, Craig?
How's it going, Bink? How are we this morning?
I'm ready for this draft guide that you guys have put together to drop, and it's going to drop like it is very, very hot.
I am ready for everybody to see what we've been working on. We crossed over our 340th different prospect in this
last night. 340.
We are 340. Cheers. We are very close. We're finishing up the last of the reports, finishing up the features. April 8th, this thing is going to drop, and we are so ready for everybody to see what we've been working on for the past several months.
Okay, you're at 340. What's the draftable players this year? Is it 256 or 254? It does fluctuate each and every year with comp picks.
I was thinking about that last night and how I needed to check it. I think it's 256, but I haven't checked it since the comp picks were awarded.
Yeah, with the comp picks, it changed things up, but I'm thinking you're about right. Yeah. 254, 256 is where we're at, so that's well and beyond above that. But what they've done is they've culminated how they fit with the Kansas City Chiefs, which I think it's I haven't seen this before. It's unprecedented. I think this is a really cool thing that Arrowhead Pride is doing. Craig Stout, a big part of that, you know, with Kent Swanson, Matt Lane, Jake Morley, the crew that actually went to the Senior Bowl as well. Craig, couple of odds and ends. Justin Houston in Indy. Rappaport had a report. Well, the Chiefs have changed. He's a 4-3 defensive end in Indy. It sounds to me that the Chiefs might have said, hey, Justin, you want to take a big pay cut? We'll keep you. He didn't want to do it, and so he goes there.
Yeah, I think that's what the case was. I don't think that the Chiefs were interested at all in paying him $21 million this year. No. I do think that they went to him and said, hey, we wouldn't mind having you on this team, but we can't keep you at that figure. And when that all came down, you know, he just – They moved on, and he found a job for $12 million a year for the next 2 years. I'm very curious to see what the structure of that is and see if it's more of a one-year deal or if they were trusting him to play a couple of years. But $12 million is a good amount for Justin Houston. I think that's about right, and I think that's about where his market is.
Yeah, the text line saying D Ford, not 4-3 linebacker. No, he's not. He's playing 4-3 defensive end in Indianapolis. Don't forget Tom Bali played 4-3 defensive end in Kansas City before they made that switch to the 3-4. So guys moving all around. All right, now what do you think, Craig? Now, I have said that I feel this defense is better because, and I've talked to you about that, because it's different, new regime, new coaches, and I like this coaching staff, which I think makes it better than last year. And I think the Honey Badger gives you more, clearly more than Eric Berry did last year. Okafor. What other moves do you think they make? Because we're getting close to the draft here. Where are you sitting right now? Do we trade up? Do we trade back? Or do they try to make a trade for that defensive line? Or do they feel good enough in the draft to go up and get a guy like Cleveland Farrell, something like that?
You see, Cleveland, I think, is the type of guy that they're really going to target if they are targeting a trade up. I think that Bashaud Breeland, even though he's only here on a one-year deal and they're definitely going to need more bodies at that position, I'm just not sure that trading up for a corner is in the works now, trading up for either Byron Murphy or Greedy Williams. I think those are really the only two guys realistically that they would have to trade up for at that position. So if they are trading up, I do think it's for a pass rusher. I think Farrell, Sweat, Gary, those longer, bigger guys, kind of like Okafor, that can, you know, get after the passer, but they're more run-setter, tone-setter sort of guys. And then, you know, Spagnuolo and Matt House are going to try and scheme up some pressure. I think that's where it is. I think if the Chiefs do add a corner, I think maybe they'd look at using maybe one of their second or a third round pick to try and go out and get a guy that a team doesn't necessarily want to keep paying their current salary, or maybe is on the last year of their rookie deal and they'll be asking for a lot of money next year.
It sounds like by the things I'm hearing, things I'm seeing, there could be a really good opportunity to get Rakia Sin in that second round.
I think so, too. He seems to be, throughout this process and after the combine, he seems to be the guy that kind of is being pushed out. There's several of those names, Amani Oruwariye, Justin Lane, Trayvon Mullen. These guys are being pushed up a little further in the second round. Rock may be one of those guys that actually does fall, and partially due to his, you know, real lack of experience at the position, especially at a high level. He played at Presbyterian College his first 2 years and then transferred to Temple last year. And when he transferred to Temple, Temple awards the first 9 numbers, 1 through 9, to the quote-unquote toughest players on the team. Rakia Sin walked into that building and got number 8. So they trusted him to come out and be a tone setter and be a physical presence on the outside. That's what he is, but he is still learning. I think he picks things up quick, but, you know, we'll see. But he seems to be one of those guys that may be around at 61.
Isn't there, with you, with me, there's this cloud of uncertainty, you know, with Tyreek, because I really don't know which direction this is going. I think it's going to go in a direction that's favorable for the Kansas City Chiefs, but I can't be certain because nothing in life is certain. I'm certainly not privy to certain information. That could really throw a loop into what they have to do if he's not able to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the Chiefs needed to add an offensive weapon sometime fairly early in the draft. Not necessarily round 1, but maybe that second pick of round 2 or round 3. So I was already kind of looking at these wide receivers, tight ends, maybe a running back if you didn't have your offensive weapon on the board. If Tyreek Hill is not there, it becomes a need all of a sudden there. You know, Sammy Watkins was very beneficial to Patrick Mahomes. I know that everybody posts the stats about before and after Kareem Hunt. You know, Sammy Watkins was part of that as well. He wasn't on the field, and that actually had a bigger effect to me than Kareem Hunt's absence at the end of the year for the way that the offense played. But Sammy Watkins can't stay healthy. Yep. So they're going to need another guy that can play. If that's the case, they may find themselves having to trade up in round 2 to go get a playmaker that can step in and help this offense not miss a beat.
Who would that be for you? Debo Samuel or Paris Campbell? Where do you see him going? Because I'm seeing second for him. I mean, we're talking about world-class speed. There's him, Debo Samuel, a guy that I like, Andy Isabella. I feel still a third rounder who actually visited and worked out with the Chiefs. And this guy's legit, and he's fast as well. But there's certainly some playmakers. Where do you see Paris and Debo?
Paris and Debo, I think, are fairly securely round 2 players. They're both very good. Paris had this benefit of playing in a great offense with great receivers. And, you know, he wasn't necessarily the focus man, but he ran a lot of go routes. He is fast as all get out. He's a guy that would add that speed element back to the team. Andy Isabella, also very fast. Debo, also very fast. Isabella and Debo are both a little better route runners, but Campbell's a little longer than both of them. Hakeem Butler out of Iowa State is a guy that's getting all kinds
like
of buzz
guy
right now. I think he might slip into the backside of round 1 there. But if he managed to fall somehow to middle of round 2, that's a guy that even with Tyreek on the team, I think you go out and you get that guy because he can play as a big slot. He's got the route running ability and the hands to play in that slot and then develop towards an outside receiver. If you're moving on from Sammy Watkins or if you need to move on from Tyreek Hill, he's a guy that I love. But, yeah, I just think that he's shooting up draft boards right now.
And they might have to go earlier on tight end. The mid-round tight ends, there's starting to be some questions on Caleb Wilson falling. Josh Oliver of San Jose State, I like. Jay Sternberger, I liked. But after having a conversation with Charles Davis, I liked him even more. He was really good at Kansas. He transferred to JUCO. Then he goes to Texas A&M, blew it up. But, you know, that this is a guy. And, again, the Chiefs, tight end. They love multiple tight end sets, two and three tight end sets. And right now, behind Kelce, you have a whole lot of what-ifs, especially without Demetrius Harris, who wasn't the best tight end two in the world. He showed some promise, but he wasn't there yet. But, again, I think that's a position of need early on in the draft. C.J. Conrad was a guy I liked in the later rounds, but with, you know, everything going on with him medically, I don't know. They may have to go earlier on in tight ends than I thought initially.
They might, yeah. There are some really great tight ends. You know, some of these guys that if they fall, you almost can't pass up on them because their value is far too high, even going above a wide receiver in some of that. Like if for whatever reason Noah Fant fell into the middle of the second round,
oh my.
I don't care what you're doing. The Chiefs need to go get him. That guy is a wide receiver in a tight end body. Yep. He's a matchup nightmare. You go get that guy. But later round guys, Cale Waring, Foster Moreau, these guys are good blockers, good inline blockers, which is what you want if you're the Chiefs and you're trying to get a tight end too, because you don't want Travis Kelce to have to stay in and block all the time. He's good at it, but that's not where he's at his best. If you're adding a tight end to, you realistically want to go out and get a guy that you can leave in line and let Kelce split out wide. So Moreau, Waring, these guys are later round guys that have athletic ability but are still incredibly raw as route runners and with their hands, but they're good blockers. So those are the types of guys that I'd be targeting in like round five, round six maybe, try and go out and get them as a contributor early in a late round draft pick.
I tell you what, Craig, I just don't like this uncertainty right now. I'd like to just focus in, get that defense. Look at I don't know what the Chiefs' plan is, but clearly these moves they're making, all but Carlos Hyde have had been defensive players. And this defense is loaded. I know that they're not wild on playing rookies initially. Remember, Kareem Hunt wasn't even supposed to be a starter for this team. That was because of injury that he ends up starting. But I just wish there was some more clarity on what we need to do because this team needs a few more pieces. But I do find it interesting how much attention they're putting to veteran players on defense, even fully knowing the second and third round are loaded with corner safety types.
Right. And I think that what we're seeing is there's a clear plan for what Steve Spagnuolo, Matt House, and Brendan Daly and Dave Merritt want on that side of the ball. And they've moved on from D4. They moved on from Justin Houston. They've moved on from Eric Berry, went out and got Honey Badger, Freeland. They were in on Ronald Darby. They were in on Earl Thomas. These are guys that they're trying to remake the mentality and the sort of effort level and faith of the defense. I think we all would complain about some of the effort level shown throughout Bob Sutton's tenure by a lot of the players there. Whether or not you agreed with the talent level, the effort level just wasn't there all the time. I think that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to go out and get guys that are going to play more as a unit with a higher motor, higher effort. Maybe the talent will be a little bit worse overall, especially since they moved on from Ford, Houston, and Berry. But I just don't think that the defense will be because they have this clear plan and this clear change in mentality and effort level. There is some uncertainty, but I do feel like they're in good hands and that the plan is being implemented so far. We'll see what the draft brings, though.
See, this is what I like, Craig. I feel the same way you do. And I know you watched every single snap last year defensively. I personally feel better about the defense going forward because I have a lot of faith in the staff, and I know that coaching can make a difference. And I know you can't compare things to the New England Patriots. But that defensive side of the ball is not the best in the world. But we saw them shut down the first, second, sixth highest scoring teams in the NFL in the first half to just 10 points. They did it when the money counted. Weren't a good sacking team last year, but were in the postseason. And I am one of those firm believers in a staff, because I can see some guys being defensive coordinators and head coaches on the defensive side, something I haven't been able to say before because all the talent elevation ladder has been on the offensive side. But I look at this defense, and I do think coaching can make a difference in attitude and everything else, like you're saying. A D Ford that dropped more times in the coverage than the combined eight linebackers from the 49ers last year. D Ford dropped more than all of them put together, which is insane, and he's not going to be doing that. Clearly, he's just going to the quarterback next year. But I do feel the coaching staff, and you've been over it, you and I like a lot of these guys a lot. I think that can make a difference like a free agent.
I think so, too. And I know that people want to look at Spagnuolo's history and record and kind of look at his overall numbers. You know, that's not a situation where I think is fair to Spagnuolo there. A lot of people said he was a Bob Sutton retread. This guy is nothing like Bob Sutton. The accountability, the aggression that he presents on the field is perfect. It's tailor-made for today's spread offenses. You have a bunch of young quarterbacks, and they're trying to scheme up ways to get guys open. Spagnuolo is going to hit these guys early. He's going to bring pressure. He's going to bring aggression. And with Brendan Daly and House on the roster, they're going to stop the run. That was Bob Sutton's biggest problem throughout his tenure here, is he never had a good run-stopping defense, and it bit him in the ass several times during the playoffs in his tenure. This is not going to be the way that it's going to go under Spagnuolo, with House, with Daly. These guys are going to stop the run up front. That's going to allow Patrick Mahomes more opportunities on the field. I just think that there's no way that this defense doesn't climb up to at least middle of the pack just with this coaching staff alone.
Well, Craig, I trust your opinions. I love talking to ArrowheadPride.com guys, defensive analyst for at Arrowhead Pride. And if you're not following him, you're crazy. It's at Barley Hop. He's also a beer guy, too, at Barley Hop on Twitter. Does just a fantastic job. Craig, always good talking football to you, my friend. I could do it for 4 hours, but we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for taking the time to join me and talk a little football on Sunday morning. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me on. Thanks.
There you go, Craig Stout right there. And there's some reason for optimism. Coming up next, jumping back to the Kansas City Royals. Everybody's talking about these stolen bases. I think this team's going to do something else to keep you going out. Nets including going to Dongtown. We talk that next.
Big Sunday.
We heard Vern. Every 15 minutes, opening day tickets. Never seen anything like it. 34 tickets in all given out on Show and Vern. So make sure you're tuned in to Show and Vern on Tuesday. Going to be a lot of fun for that promotion that we have. There's so many things to go on. The opening day is always a lot of fun here. 610 Sports Radio, getting you ready for Royal season. I think it's catching a lot of people off guard because you've kind of been college football mode or college basketball mode with the tournament. The Chiefs have kept your interest with everything that they're doing, bringing in the Badger, cutting Barry, trading Ford. It's been a lot of fun for the Kansas City Chiefs. But, yes, the Kansas City Royals are about to start. And I think this is a fun team for you guys to watch. I think a lot of people might have fallen asleep on the Royals last year, and understandably so. There were 41 games under 500 at the break. Things weren't going good. You know, talking to people in the front office when I was doing Royal stuff last year, they weren't expecting that. They were expecting the team to take a turn towards the other direction. They clearly didn't. Remember, Dayton Moore had used the word rebuild, but then during the season, towards the end, he stopped using that phrase and said he's not using that phrase anymore. When it came to the Kansas City Royals, they expected this team to be better. That's why they go out and get Jake Dietman and Drew Storen and Brad Boxberger. The story of spring training has been the perseverance of Kyle Zimmer. Kyle Zimmer is the feel-good story for the Royals. Hit 95, 96 on the radar gun. He's been an impressive pitcher. And I'm rooting for that guy. And I know we've all lost faith and Kyle Zimmer, the former first-round pick, got cut by the Royals, got brought back, minor league deal. Same thing with Bubba Starling. He goes out to Driveline Academy. His brother made the major leagues in Cleveland. He didn't. But there's a lot of guys like Kyle Zimmer that simply just give up on baseball. They just realize, hey, this is not for me. It's, you know, four surgeries later. I can't stay healthy. I'm going. Now, let's wait and see with Kyle Zimmer. He could come out and be great for this team, and then he could go on the DL again. And I'm cautiously optimistic that he'll be fine. But, again, I grew up in Missouri, the show-me state. You got to show me something. You got to show me you can be healthy. But I will say this. I have a certain amount of respect for what Kyle Zimmer brings to the table because the guy doesn't quit. You go back 2 years ago, I remember him at FanFest, you know, talking about the struggles. I remember this year, the humbleness of trying to make it. This guy wants to be in the major leagues, and I cannot wait till Kyle Zimmer throws a pitch in the major leagues. This guy has dreamt about this. He's not given up the fight. He's tried everything in his power to get back to the player that he was supposed to be. Again, people were talking about Kyle Zimmer having some of the best stuff in this farm system, just injury after injury, kept derailing this guy. He'd get ready, then all of a sudden he'd get hurt again. And we'd see, you know, on Twitter, he's been pulled from Omaha, and it's not good. One guy to root for is this guy because he's kind of a reflection of Kansas City. He doesn't quit. He wants to be on this team. Like Danny Duffy, bury me a Royal, that kind of attitude. The guy wants to be a Kansas City Royal. And that's the funny thing. These guys want to be Royals again. Lucas Duda comes back to the Kansas City Royals, cranks a home run, probably be on the 25-man roster. This team has a culture, and people like being here. They like playing for this team. It is a tight-knit group that has fun. It is a group that I saw transition last year from being 41 games under 500. They didn't care. Second half of the season, it was young blood coming in. And you looked around that locker room, and it was Omaha, 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 Omaha. Guys that were in Omaha. Even Kevin McCarthy had a really good year last year in the bullpen, was in Omaha last year. Came up. These guys knew each other. They built a bond. And right now, the group of young core the Royals have in Lexington, the South Atlantic League champions, the only Royals organization to go into the postseason, was Low A. And they won it all. And the draft picks we used, the college draft picks, and Brady Singer and Jackson Coar, Daniel Lynch. And don't forget, people are like, why didn't we trade, you know, Hosmer and Kane? Well, you got comp picks for them, 33 and 34. And you got Daniel Lynch, who a lot of people think could have been a top 10 pick if you went back and redrafted. Royals got a steal in Daniel Lynch. Pitched great last year for the South Atlantic League, Lexington Legends. The farm system, like the Mariners, has been two of the most improved farm systems in baseball. Dade Moore had a goal to rebuild this farm system. That's what he wanted to do, and he's done it. Remember, he trades five left-handed pitchers for Cueto and Zobrist, pushing all in. But the stolen bases, we all know they're going to get over 200 stolen bases this year. We know it's going to be a personal competition between Billy Hamilton, Whit Merrifield, and Adalberto Mondesi. Mondesi will win that battle, by the way. He will lead the league in stolen bases. He was fourth last year in 75 games. They're going to steal bases. They're going to be fun to watch. I'll go back to Cincinnati last year. He's rounding the bases, running home, stealing home. Cincinnati looked off guard a little bit. Like, hey, here's the Kansas City Royals. Why are they trying this hard? Well, they're five games under after the break. There for a while, they had the best record in baseball through August, through a little stretch of games for the Kansas City Royals. They were hitting home runs. They should lead Major League Baseball in home runs, not as a whole for the season, but during a stretch of time for a couple of weeks. They were hitting the ball well, winning in walk-off fashion. Things earlier in the year, when the Royals were down in the eighth or ninth, game over. They wouldn't come back like the Royals that we fell in love with in 14 and 15, that no matter what, this team was going to come back and win the game. They started to do that as the season transpired. Not only that, they didn't win at home the beginning of the year. They started winning at home in the second, taking advantage of the speed and defense. Dayton Moore builds the team around the ballpark. But the home runs as well. Jorge Soler, absolutely crushing the ball. Five home runs and 57 at-bats this year. Can he stay healthy? That's the big question. Chris Owings has been a fine for the Kansas City Royals. Hit .333 this spring. Four home runs, 13 RBI. It's a guy that can play second, third, first, outfield, wherever you need Chris Owings. This is the Ned Yost type of guy that you're going to see a lot of this year. It's the young guys like O'Hearn. Did he get better defensively? Because last year he struggled a little bit defensively, even costing him a game in Tampa last year. But he's got pop. And Hunter Dozier, four bombs in spring training. You want to talk about a guy that made the biggest transition last year was him. And I noticed it when O'Hearn got here. They work out. They're both Texas guys from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Went to different colleges, Stephen F. Austin, one of them. And they're guys that work out together in the offseason. I noticed a little competition between them. I noticed Whit Merrifield and Mondi kind of had a little stolen base competition. Adalberto Mondesi started going to the training room, something he hadn't done before. He told Ned Yost he didn't want to sit out anymore. Ned Yost is resting him, playing every day. He's 23 years old. Why not? He showed a lot of growth. He's a breakout superstar for this team. He's a Francisco Lindor-type player. We're talking a guy that can hit 30 home runs, steal 65 stolen bases. And I'm not kidding. That's not hyperbole. That's what this kid can do. He had 14 home runs last year, but third in the Royals in home runs in just 75 games. Fourth in the American League in stolen bases, 75 games. You double his numbers, insane. The only guy last year to steal a base on Corey Kluber. A guy that I say is worth the price of admission. He is the Royals' best player, and that's Adalberto Mondesi. We've been waiting for him. Makes his debut in the 2015 World Series. Been waiting for him. But I know Perez isn't here, and they went out and replaced him with Martin Maldonado. The only guy to break the streak of gold gloves from Salvador Perez in 2017 was Martin Maldonado, who, by the way, hit a home run last year in the postseason for the Houston Astros. Good pickup by Dayton Moore. Really good under-the-radar pickup. And you heard Jeff Flanagan, talking about how the pitching staff trusts him the way he frames pitches and what he could do. I'm very excited. This team not going to win the division this year because the cavalry's not here yet. It will be very soon. They've got a lot of guys waiting. Martin Maldonado was brought in because the catcher wasn't quite ready yet, but it will be because we're loaded at that position. But these Kansas City Royals are going to be fun to watch. Now, if they can keep this rotation in place, that's the question. Because the bullpen, to me, might be the strength of the pitching staff. It's not the starters this year, believe it or not. It's the bullpen. Except for guys like Brad Keller, who the home plate umpire went to Ned Yost after a spring training game and said, man, this guy's got great stuff. He was fun to watch last year. Again, under the radar, 23 years old. Mondesi, 23 years old. Patrick Mahomes, 23 years old. It's the young, bright superstars in Kansas City. Cannot wait for Royals baseball to begin right here on 610 Sports Radio against the White Sox Thursday. Don't forget Tuesday, every 15 minutes on Show and Vern, your chance to win Royals opening day tickets. Well, back to the Kansas City Chiefs next. In this new direction, Andy Reid's ready to hit the reset button. And, man, I'm telling you, they've done it. We do that next.
Big Sunday.
From our Royals insider, Cody Tapp. And if you're not checking out Cody's Corner, 610sports.com, you should. Full of video, insight, and everything from spring training. Of course, Cody is going to be coming back to Kansas City probably sometime at the end of the night. After 6 weeks, Cody Tapp gets to come back and chill out and hopefully have a couple days off before he gets ready for opening day. Looking forward to hearing Cody on deck show and the postgame show as well. He tweets out Danny Duffy is still a little ways from being ready. Ned said he will need rehab starts in the minors once he's built up and ready for it. Last schedule had him starting to throw live BPs starting tomorrow. Phil Meyer would be the expected starter in a spot. Heath Phil Meyer sent to AAA. The Royals are doing something different this year. A lot of extended spring training for their starters. Don't need them right away. Remember, you have opening day, then you have that day off, and then you play Saturday and Sunday. So it's kind of a wait-and-see game where you don't need five starters right off the bat for the team. But Andy Reid, and this is what I really like. This is what he had to say with the Honey Badger here about this being a new fresh start and a new beginning for the defense.
One thing we mentioned at Ty was that this is a beginning. So he's coming in fresh with the rest of the guys, and they're going to build this thing together along with the coaching staff. So and normally if you have good players and good coaches, normally you have success. And so we feel like we're right there and heading in that direction.
And, of course, he also said a new beginning. Hit the reset button for this team.
It is a new beginning. And so for our defense and whatever direction it goes, none of us can predict the future. whatever direction it goes. But we've got Ty here to help build on with the other guys that are still on our football team. There'll be changes as it goes through. This is the NFL. Things happen, but this isn't the end of new people coming in. That's not where we're at, whether it's through the draft or free agency. But we know what we have right here. We have a leader and somebody that's not afraid to step up and take on that role. And he's also a good football player. And he's a better person than all of that. I mean, he's a class act. And the things that he'll do for the community will be as spectacular as the things that he does for our football team. So.
And he's talking about the honey badger there. I felt this was really interesting. And this is what the honey badger told Pete Sweeney and I. We had a chance to interview the honey badger after his press conference one-on-one. And what he's saying here is kind of the direction I think this team is going. It shows that Pat Mahomes' leadership and why he knows himself why this defense must get better. Here's the conversation the Badger had with Mahomes.
I spoke with Pat over the phone. He's probably been the guy I've been speaking to the most. And, you know, his whole thing is, you know, I got offense. I just need a guy to come in and really lead the defense in the right way. And that'll be my job. That'll be my task. Amongst a bunch of other things, but I think ultimately it's really coming and giving this team a defensive sense of who we are.
There you go, Mahomes. I need a guy on defense. I need you, Honey Badger. It shows where Pat Mahomes is. He knows he needs defense. It's like Peyton Manning in Denver. He knows he needs defense. They went out and got Tlaib and Ware and TJ Ward. They needed defense. Pat's showing that. I need something else on the other side of the ball. Think about this. You get more stops. Think about Pat Mahomes' numbers. If he starts getting stops and gets more time on the field, 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns last year, what can he do this year? That's the question. That's the real question, how good he can be. And Brett Veach even said this, the Chiefs aren't done. So think about what they're doing now. And I know so many people were down, and I mean down and out. I remember the night we got the Badger, and I remember the text line and everything else, upset the Chiefs weren't doing anything. And they see all these teams making moves and the Chiefs weren't. And then all of a sudden they get the Honey Badger and things were like, all right, I see what Brett Veach is doing. He's being aggressive. But let me remind you, Khalil Mack traded real late last year to the Bears. Now, some people think the Chiefs can get Jadeveon Clowney in a trade. No way. Texans would be dumb to give the Chiefs Clowney in a trade. They won their division last year. They have a franchise quarterback. Why make a team better in the AFC? It's like D Ford going to San Francisco. Who cares? San Francisco's not going to sniff the Super Bowl next year. D Ford can go there. He's not going to hurt you. Now, Justin Houston might in Indianapolis because Indianapolis is a team on the rise. Indianapolis is a team ready to take that mantle in the AFC as a power. Steelers have come down. Patriots, who knows about them? Tom, as long as Tom and Belichick are there, they're going to be there. The Kansas City Chiefs, Cleveland Browns, team on the rise. Brett Veach, he doubled down saying, hey, we're not done.
We're not done. This was one part. One part was to get flexibility and get ammunition to do things that we want to do. And again, keep going back for a long time before the season gets out there. It's one thing if the season was kicking off Sunday. That's a very valid question. You know, pass rush and some more defensive help, corners, this and that. And again, if the season started Sunday, that would be one thing. But when you talk about September, talk about a big window here before the draft, after the draft, and even, you know, during start of training camp, there are things that can happen. So none of those things, though, and moves cannot be made unless you have faith and draft capital. And, you know, that's kind of the position we're in now.
And he's aggressive. I would like to see what he could do with the amount of picks that Dorsey and the money Dorsey had in Cleveland. Everybody's wanting to just throw the bouquet of flowers at John Dorsey's feet and say, look what this guy's doing. Well, if he had the picks and draft capital, he's got it now. He's got a 1 and 2 twos this year. He's got a 1 and 2 twos next year. Third round this year and next year. He's got some ways that he can move up and down. Now, I feel the Chiefs won't have to do a lot to move in the 20s from 29 up. I think it's kind of a buyer's market. They might be able to get away with it. A little less value if you look at a Jimmy Johnson draft chart. Chiefs pick is valued at 640. You know, moving up into a moving up to top 10, way too expensive, 2,200, 2,400 value. We're going to have to get rid of a first-round pick this year, maybe next year. I would love for the Chiefs to be able to trade up and get Josh Allen. edge rusher out of Kentucky, because Matt House had him at Kentucky, and I think it'd be a great fit, but it's too much. And I don't think you're willing to trade more than what you did to move up and get Patrick Mahomes for somebody on defense. But yes, through trades, through the draft, the Chiefs can make a difference. They've hit the reset button on this defense, so we should all be happy for it. This offense is fine. This offense is loaded. And again, the 82 Chargers had a 4,000-yard passer, 1,000-yard runner, 1,000-yard tight end, 1,000-yard wide receiver. Chiefs had that the last year with Alex Smith. They would have had it this year. The only thing they're missing is that 1,000-yard rusher because Kareem Hunt was kicked off the team, or they would have had it. But not only that, the Chiefs were spending $10 million on Mahomes, Hunt, Kelce, and Hill. That's insane. But the price of doing business is going up for the Kansas City Chiefs because they have their mind set how much money they're going to have to give Patrick Mahomes, which to me, back up the Brinks truck, you've got to have a franchise quarterback. It's what everybody in this league is looking for. NCAA tournament moves on without Kansas or Kansas State. We have a little primer for the games going on today. And who's playing in the Big 12? We talk about that next.
Big Sunday.
Welcome back to Big Sunday. Jay Binkley, Ben Alpert producing the operation. Kansas City Royals, you can hear that game later today. Last spring training game for the Kansas City Royals against the Texas Rangers. Hear that 205 right here. 610 Sports Radio from Surprise, Arizona. Tomorrow night's going to be fun. At the Storm Chasers, Ned's planning on using relievers in that game. Last year, this game got canceled. And I believe that's where Salvador Perez had the luggage incident. Was that that or when they came home, which was bad news for the Royals then? Tuesday and Wednesday off for the Royals. Play the White Sox. Opening day, 3 o'clock, 3:15, right here on 610 Sports Radio. Cody Tapp will join you at 2 o'clock for pregame. Can't believe we're already talking about pregame now. Royals off on Friday, and then a Saturday-Sunday matchup with the Chicago White Sox. Baseball season's here again. It's going to be a lot of fun. Again, we're full gear this, the NFL draft, you name it, the OTAs, minicamp, Chiefs training camp. Back to what we do. Back to what we do in Kansas City, and that's play ball. About to have some real stuff going on here with the Kansas City Royals. From the Protein House, Eat with the Purpose text line. I'm kind of done about being excited about the Chiefs moves until we figure out anything about Hill. Kind of with you on that, too. I ran into some people yesterday. I was up at a car dealership, talked to some good folks, and that was their concern. What's going on with Tyreek Hill? It's a lot of uncertainty. Boy, it's just something I wish we didn't have to worry about. I wish we didn't have to worry about the wide receiver. I mean, just looking at it, it looks okay to me, even though there was the talk that came out earlier this week with Jay Glazer, the Chiefs are trying to move him during the free agency period. And you just can't replace Tyreek Hill's speed. That's such a weapon for Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes just had this ideal placement of the football for guys to make plays after the catch, something he's talked about in OTAs in 17, something he talked about after the Steelers game this year. So, yeah, I'm concerned about that, too. Another one, you know, something that's concerning me, the inside linebacker position. I actually think Anthony Hitchens will thrive in this defense. Remember how good he was with the Dallas Cowboys? He was still fifth in the NFL in tackles last year. But I do believe with the new scheme, he'll be fine. Now, Raglan, don't know where he fits in. Because Dorian O'Daniel, to me, is one of your outside linebackers. Maybe they address it mid-rounds in the draft for another Sam or Will linebacker for the 4-3. Not sure exactly what they're going to do. There will be a play. And Honey Badger, don't forget, played a little bit of linebacker. Very undersized, but played a little bit of linebacker in that linebacker role. Maybe nickel linebacker. Goes up to the line of scrimmage. You can do so many different things with this cat. And again, he's been sixth in quarterback pressures in the NFL from a defensive back position since 2015. So, me, myself, I'm looking forward to that. As far as scores, we have scores in the NCAA tournament right now. Tennessee up 20 on Iowa. Tennessee Volunteers up 20 right now against the University of Iowa. North Carolina and Washington tip off about 140. UCF and Duke, 1-9 matchup, 4-15. 5-10, you have the Buffalo Bulls, 32-3. A lot of people's sexy prediction to keep going to the Sweet 16. I have Texas Tech in this one. I'm believing in at least one Big 12 team. I did have Kansas losing to Auburn last night. And again, if you're filling out your brackets and you go against Kansas, listen, if they win, you're screwed. But if they don't, you position yourself pretty well because a lot of people pick Kansas around here, but I don't know that a ton of people did it this year. Liberty against Virginia Tech at 6:10 tonight. 6:45, we start seeing some Big 12 action. 9, Oklahoma going against the number one seed, Virginia. 6:45, Ohio State and Houston tip things off at 7:40. And the Anteaters of UC Irvine play the 12th seed, Oregon. It's a 13-12 matchup. It was really weird seeing Oregon as a 12th seed that would beat Wisconsin. I had Wisconsin winning that one, actually, but it's really weird seeing Oregon as a 12th seed, 24-12 against UC Irvine. Those Anteaters, those pesky Anteaters, can they get themselves into the Sweet 16 from the South region? All that to be determined today. Love the NCAA tournament. Second round is fun. Next week's a lot of fun when you get to the Sweet 16. That's when you start having a lot of fun with it. Next weekend's one of those good sports weekends. You have Royals baseball. You've got the NCAA tournament. And you can be a casual observer now. You can hit the sports bars. You can do whatever you want. No Kansas State, no Kansas. And I know there's probably a lot of establishments around the area that which Kansas is still playing. It's kind of like the Power and Light when Iowa State gets bumped from the Big 12 tournament. They lose that revenue. But I know bars fill up when Kansas plays. And no Kansas anymore. So we'll see what happens, Kansas or Kansas State. Would have been fun to have one of the local schools involved in it still. I think it would have been a lot of fun to do. But you know what? It's time to switch gears. Time to start looking at some spring football. It's time to start looking at some Kansas City Royals baseball again. The Royals, last spring training game today. Because I'm not really counting the Omaha Storm Chasers game. That's kind of a feel-good thing for the Royals and the Storm Chasers that did not get to play. Don't forget the Royals play the Tigers in Omaha this year in a regular season game at the College World Series. That's going to be fun. It's going to be fun for, and I think we're going to do some stuff up there, have some people go up there. But seeing the Royals play in Omaha this year against the Tigers in a real game, that's what will make it a little bit of fun. But Thursday, opening day, and don't forget, on Tuesday, your chance to get Royals opening day tickets every 15 minutes on Show and Vern. So make sure you're listening to Show and Vern if you want an opportunity, which I think you have a good opportunity to win tickets to opening day. It's supposed to be, what's the weather, weather.com for Thursday? Ned Yost said it the other day. I think he said something like 69 degrees. That would be insane because there's been some cold days out there for opening day. I've been out there with a jacket on. I rarely wear jackets, but it's been a little cool. All right. All right, here's your weather forecast for Thursday. And take this with a grain of salt. It does say scattered thunderstorms, chance of precipitation 50%. 74 degrees now, which keep in mind, part of the reason they do this, if for some reason they don't get this in, they'll play Friday because Friday is an off day, so they would move this game to Friday. But that's way too far in advance to worry about rain. But if it doesn't rain, it's 74 degrees on Thursday, and I can't think of a better opening day than 74 degrees, sunshine, having some beer, sitting at the ballpark, watching the Kansas City Royals. And I hope people are there to see the majesty of Adalberto Mondesi. I think this guy's going to throw it 5-2 player, no question about it. The speed, the defense, the power. To have that kind of speed and that kind of power, rare combination. The Royals have, and we've always waited for this, we've always seen these stars on other teams. You know, the Lindors, the guys you go out and pay, the Trouts, the Harpers, the Machados. Well, you got that guy in Mondesi, and you got him pretty cheap right now, too. Again, probably three of your best players are making a combined $2 million this year. That's a bargain. Brad Keller, $500,000, a little over it. Your opening day starter. Adalberto Mondesi, probably your best all-around player at $500,000. Whit Merrifield getting that raise. He's making $1 million this year. You would have had, and keep in mind, Whit Merrifield was your hitter of the year last year. $500,000. Brad Keller, your pitcher of the year, $500,000. Adalberto Mondesi was your flex player last year for the Royals. All three of them award winners for the Royals. Had Whit not got that raise, you'd be looking at $1.5 million. When a guy like Kennedy makes over 16, Alex Gordon makes 20. You talk about bargain shopping, you talk about Costco. Dayton Moore, to me, needs a reality show on HGTV about flipping that house because that's what he's doing for the Kansas City Royals, and I can't wait to see what he does this year. And again, I'm looking at 72 wins, 73. That's the PECOTA rankings. For the Royals, I think they're on the money this year. in the past they haven't been on the money. Last year, a down year for the Royals. I'm glad that team didn't set the record for most losses in a year because I don't think they deserved it. I think that Ned Yost is back this year because of the excitement he got from this team last year. You know, he talked about going home during the All-Star break. They're 41 games under, and he just the spirits weren't there. But I respect Ned because he's willing to take the L's on his baseball reference page. Some guys aren't willing to do the rebuild. Ned likes teaching. He's got the ring. And when you got the ring, you can do what you want. Ned Yost, going to have a statue in that outfield. He is. Winningest all-time manager here, has a ring. He's been to two World Series. Your hashtag fire Ned. Got to like Ned Yost. Huge thanks to Craig Stout joining us, arrowheadpride.com, Tim Fitzgerald, gopowercat.com, and Jeff Flanagan, MLB.com, for joining us. As always, a huge thanks to Ben Alpern producing this operation. Couldn't do it without him. We'll see you guys soon.
Big Sunday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.